on teaching more and more in Luke 12. In John, for instance, let's go to Matthew 6. We're still there. Give us the next verse in Matthew. Is my video ready? Follow me. Is my video ready? Thank you. I'm coming. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow we'll worry about some things, some trouble. Next verse, Matthew 7, verse 1. Judge not. Matthew 7, verse 1. The next verse. So, Jesus changed the subject. But in Luke, he kept on talking more about it. So let's see what he said in Luke. Luke 12, verse 29. I hope I'm correct. Let's check it up. Luke 12. Yeah. Saying the same thing. Do not seek what you should eat, what you should drink, or have an answer to mine. Next verse. For all these things, the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. What do you say next? But seek, am I correct? That sounds like Matthew, right? Seek first what? The kingdom of God. And all these things are the what? Now, let's keep reading. And I talked more than Matthew. Next verse. Do not fear, still on the kingdom. Do not fear, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, how will you take the kingdom now? Look at next verse. Amazing. Sell what you have. Give alms. Provide yourself money bags, which won't grow old. Wow. A treasure in the heavens that does not fail. Where no thief approaches, nor moth destroys. Interesting. For where your treasure is. Now, he's saying that if you are going to really bring the kingdom to bear, don't go and hide in the church. Sell what you have. Sell your certificate. Sell your ability. Sell your skill. But don't stop there. Give alms. Look out for those you can provide for. Like Jerry, taking that money that was not enough, took part of it and gave out of it. And you are providing yourself a bag that never grows old. Whoa! Like Dami did. She wanted to buy drugs worth more than 10,000. She had only 10,000 left. What did she do? Gave it out there. Now, God insisted that you do it for the poor. And lifted them. One of the reasons why I've done so pretty well in life, even as a pastor, why you see all this like this, I'll tell you why. You want to know? You want to know why things go well here? 15th chapter of Deuteronomy. Let me show you. Glory to Jesus. I was telling Tosin. I think I saw you that day. Tosin, I think we talked about that too. That Wednesday. Yeah, that's right. 15 Deuteronomy. Are you there? You know, in Africa here, they really don't care about anybody else. Let me just make my own. That's why we don't like lining up for queue. I get my own, take care of yourself. They gave some rice in one school in the north, and there was stampede, and one student died. Did you hear about the news? How many of you heard the news? Oh, you don't watch Nigerian news. Okay. 15, are we there? Look at verse 7. If there is among you, a poor man of your brethren, which, within, can you give us NLT? Thank you, give us NLT. Beautiful. If there are any poor Israelites in your towns, when you arrive in the land the Lord your God is giving you, don't be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Let's keep reading. Instead, be what? And lend them whatever they need. Let's keep reading. Do not be mean-spirited and refuse someone a loan because the year for canceling debt is close at hand. You know, God did something in the land of Israel that when you owe somebody money, by the seventh year, it's canceled. That'd be a nice one to do. If you refuse to make the loan and the needy person cry out to the Lord, you'll be considered guilty of sin. Next verse. Give what? Let me hear your voice. What do you say? Not what? For the Lord your God will bless you. Let's read it in NKJV. I want you to see some kind of pinpointing things talk about. Give us an NKJ. Can you look up? Now, can you look up? Can you look up? Shall surely give to him, and your hearts will not be grieved when you give to him, because for this thing. Did you hear that? For this thing, the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and in all to which you put your hands. So the moment you start thinking about somebody else, for that very reason, God's going to start multiplying you. So you don't have to be praying for money. You don't have to be praying for money. God, please give me money. I want to be rich. Shut up. Ask him, how can I make others rich? How can I bless people? How can I lift them up? See, If you are a doctor and you open a hospital just to make money from patients, very soon you'll be famous for bad deals. But if you want to take care of every patient and do your thorough job, you will never be out of patient. There was one guy in real estate, was making money in a town in the U.S. over and over again. You know why? Whoever comes to him to do business, he knows about them and their family and their, all kinds of things they know, and they will do things for the family. And everybody who comes to him knows that he'll take care of them. And so he's having business. Another thing about how to make money, how to make my court. This is a hard message for Nigerians. Are you hearing me? So that's it. Now let's pause. I've got three things to go through today, some things. I want to play a video for you that I love this guy. I don't think he's a Christian, but it tells like it is. Like Paul said, that they are poets. They write things about, it talks about the things he hated and he did in his 20s. This guy, Anthony, something's in his name, Anthony Vivisi or something. And I just watched him on YouTube. I just like his guy because, you know, he was telling the truth, very hard truth. He's not quoting Bible, but he's telling the truth. And something he said was amazing. It was ADD, all addicted to phone and everything. 28 years old, he was in debt, about $70,000. His life was messed up, sleeping inside a car. And 3 or 4 years later, was a millionaire. Not by cheating and cutting corners, but by taking discipline and work on his own life. And he said, looking back to his 20s, some things he did that was stupid. And he was telling us, so if you're in your 20s now, listen, you're 30s to look back and make some amends. Are we ready to watch the film, the video? All right. I hope to come out quite well. What about the sound? Can we get the sound? The sound is not coming through. Can you just hold on? Please hold on. Can we get the sound? Oh. Balade has gone. Oh, we are. Okay. Can you help us with the sound? Relax. They'll get the sound for us. Okay. All right. Thank you. Can we now have the video back? I hope we can play it from there. That thing's not entering very well. All right. Okay. Hold on there. Relax. That thing is not making contact. Okay, maybe just scroll and find the video. And then, these are smart TV, so maybe you can just play from there, but that would be a little bit difficult. All right. You're still doing the same thing. Check your connections. Check your wire from here to there. It's not coming through yet. 5 things I regret in my 20s. I was 20. Okay. It's not coming through yet. There's no sound. What do we do? Okay, hold on. All this is the mess up all the time. Let's see what we can do. Can we go to YouTube here and just do that? The sound audio is not well connected. Let's wait for them, right? Let's wait for them. They'll get it for us. Okay. Okay, you want to check the wire? Huh? You want to do YouTube? You want to dig it out? All right. Do you have the sound coming from here out? You sure? Why is it not connecting there with your sound? You don't know. Have you done any troubleshooting? Okay, dig out your... Can you pick the guy's video? Can you? No, you are going wrong place. Find the YouTube. Whoever is looking for YouTube, YouTube is just down there. Okay. Who is the guy that is looking like this as if he's not seeing quite well? Okay, can I have the stuff? Who is having the stuff? All right. Just type in Anthony Vizzi. Type the stuff in. You know, Five things I regret. Okay. Space. Five things I regret. Bear with them. You have to go as if you are just learning ABC. Okay, space. It should come out now. Okay. Let's relax and see how we go after it. In my 20s. I hope you can find it, Sha. Okay. Okay, that's it. That's the second one there. Pick it. Second one. Thank you. I hope it will come out for us. Antonio. Gracious goodness. Okay, that's it. That's the second one there. Thank you. I hope the sound can come out. It's doing the same thing again. What about the sound? Okay, hold on, guys. That's what we have to go through. I hope the internet now start doing its own thing. Okay, which internet are we on?
Is this the Instagram photo?
It's not good. All right, what can we do? Oh, fantastic. Can you cast from your phone on this? All right, can you come and cast from your phone? Okay, I think Nigeria internet. I think it's bright that is here. It's not very bright today. Okay, can you?
I don't know about you, but my 20s suck. I was broke as hell, struggled to hold down a job, and had absolutely no direction or purpose in life. And maybe the thing that made it most frustrating of all is everybody telling you how awesome you have it because you're still young. And sure, now that I'm older, have some skills and perspective, I'd absolutely love to go back and do my 20s all over again. But as they say, youth is wasted on the young. Well, here's why. It's because you're still new to the game. You haven't really figured out any of the rules, much less how you want to play it. And yet there you are, out there flopping around on the field doing the best you can, but you haven't really developed any of the skills or experiences that society deems valuable.
Can you pause?
And would innate.
Just pause. Can you do the sound better? Can you increase the treble, reduce the bass and the mid? All right. You're not hearing anything, guys. Okay. All right. Are you okay now? Let's try it again on.
In my ability to chronically screw up, which ultimately came to a head when I was 28 years old, everything just fell apart. The woman I was going to marry, she just up and left me, and I was broke and suddenly had to live in the back of a van. So things weren't looking very good. Well, a lot's changed since then. Somewhere in my late 20s, early 30s, I started figuring out how to play this game of life better. And in the decades since hitting rock bottom, I've managed to figure out a few things, though I'm really far from having mastered any of it. Maybe most important of all is I figured out how to create systems and frameworks that have ultimately enabled me to build a pretty remarkable life. And as I think back on my 20s,
Now, the reason why I want to listen to this is because this guy was scatterbrained, was a failure by 28. He had ADD, very bad attention span. in debt. Girlfriend left him. And he got his life together and began to recover. And a lot of things that he had believed as a young person that was affecting him began to be dropped, and it was getting better. So I want you to start with strength to listen, but let's capture those things he said.
Good and the bad. Here are the five things that I regret most. Things that I wish I had figured out sooner, or wish I'd just stopped doing sooner.
Are you adding it?
The number one regret that I have from my 20s is not investing sooner.
That's the first one.
But not how you think. See, when you're young, everybody and their mother will tell you how you should start investing for retirement as soon as possible to get compounding interest on your side, which is, as Einstein says, the eighth wonder of the world. And yes, it is important to start investing your money as early as possible in life. But there's actually two areas that, when I look back, I wish I'd started investing into sooner. Number one, relationships. See, I was very self-absorbed in my 20s.
Now, it's addressing investing in another different way entirely. When he said it was not investing sooner, it was not about investing money and buying shares in Apple. He said, number one, not investing in relationships. He was a very rude person. He doesn't keep relationships quite well. So he said he regretted that. Let's keep listening. Let's see.
Shivan. And I did a poor job of really investing in the people and relationships
people
around me. And maintaining and even strengthening those relationships over years is hard. As a result, I have very few connections and close ties to friends from college or my mid-20s. And on a personal level, that's really a bummer. Because it takes a long time to cultivate deep, meaningful relationships. But as you get older, the strength of these relationships will not only fortify you against all the craziness that life will throw at you, but in a very pragmatic sense, it'll enable you to move mountains. Here's what I mean by that. You hear it all the time that your network is your network.
You know why I like what he said over here? He said, when you have people around you that you have invested in, quality relationships, when you now run into any hard part of life in the future, they'll be there for you. But you see, in your 20s, all you are thinking about is just to either go out with somebody. You're not thinking about people as a whole, develop relationships, friends, acquaintances, and really having genuine life connections. And so you are busy about posing for each other to get somebody to go out with you. And then you not get out of that, you find out you don't have people that are really strong around your life. So when you are breaking down in your future, there are no people around you that are able to stand by you, that you can call and discuss and talk with. Huh? All right, so that's the first one, regret that he had.
And this is true that as you start growing and start turning your focus towards maybe winning the money game or at least playing the money game better, you're going to be aided in that pursuit, whether you're building a business or trying to move up the W-2 ladder. You're going to be aided by the people around you, your friends, your relationships, and the people that they can connect you with. So maintain those relationships because they pay some pretty incredible dividends. The second area that I wish I had started investing into sooner were in my skills. See, skills to me are the most important investment you can make because they pay dividends for the entirety of your life. The problem when I was young, in my 20s, is I invested in all the wrong skills, and skills that weren't of particularly high value. See, I was a rock climber, a runner, a snowboarder, a chess player. And it took me until my late 20s to realize that if I wanted to start making money and really change the trajectory of my life, I needed to develop skills that were of a higher value to society.
Now listen to this. This is important here. He said the second thing he didn't invest in was in sales. What is sales? Sales is where you exchange money. Well, you get something done. You know, today, a lot of these guys today just want to do something, carry on, and they don't have what is productive in their life. They just move around, and I'm developing this, I'm doing that, I'm getting. They're not doing concrete things that will fetch you money in the future. For instance, if you go to school now, the school you are going to, what impact will it help you in the future? Look at those guys in IT, certifications and co. You know that when you finish that certification, something concrete will come out of it, not just I'm just going for the lectures, I'm just going for the stuff, I'm just attending the classes. So he said, the first thing he regrets in his life was that he was not investing enough. Number one, relationships. And number two, and what will promote sales that will bring forth money in his future? And something he said was important over here, that whatever you are building in your future, you will require people. Jesus was around 30 when he began to minister. What did he do first? He assembled guys around him, 12 of them. Remember? They built with him relationships, and after he left, they are the one who continued the job. Making some sense? All right, let's keep listening. Let's see how far we can go. So that's the first one.
Skills like copywriting or communicating and investing. And it's surprising to me, even now, how once I started investing regularly in these two areas, in my relationships, in my skills, just how quickly things in my life turned around. The second thing I regret about my 20s is telling so many lies. See, when you're in your 20s, you're insecure, and you want...
You hear that? You lie too much by your appearance. You lie too much not telling the truth. You lie too much in dodging facts. He said, I regretted... He's not a deeper lifer. So get that class. Not a deeper lifer. I like this guy, you know.
People to see you in a particular way. You want people to like you and maybe even think you're cool. And so there is a tendency to present yourself in a way that's not entirely true.
Yeah.
It's not really you. It might be who you wish you were or who you might someday become, but it's not you yet. And it causes this dissonance because deep down, you know it's not you. And perhaps the worst thing of all is when it actually works and people believe the lie you're telling them, because now you feel as though you're wearing a mask and that nobody really knows you for you. See, I put on a persona of the badass who had it all figured out, or so I thought, which made it really difficult in my 20s for people to connect with.
You know, let me tell you the kind of lie I was talking about. You're talking to your friend about your business or your investment. You tell him all the rosy parts. You didn't say you lost money yesterday and you're broke now. Huh? So, number two, lying too much. He said lying. Lying will surround you with facade. I'm not preaching now. He's the one talking. So, if you are going to go beyond your 20s and don't live in that kind of foolishness of your past, break away from lying. Because when you lie, you are presenting who you are not. Check everyone who has wrecked his life, our life. There's a foundation of lying somewhere there. People break up too for lying. You are having another girl. You don't have this other girl. You are lying. All right.
The real meal. If I hadn't told so many lies, primarily to myself, then maybe my friends would have seen me struggling and could have helped me get out of my own way. See, it's not weakness to ask for help. And I know, it takes a tremendous amount.
See, he was talking about when you are struggling, you have some friends you have developed, you can just own up. You can ask for help. This kind of looking as if you are all right and all okay, nobody is, including pastor. You know, you won't believe this. Years ago, my wife and I were having a problem. You know what I did? I said, let's call somebody, a church member. Let's sit down together and work it out. No, you are told that when you get married, don't bring any third party. That's why they are dying all the time. When you want to buy food, you bring third party. When you want to get a house, you call your friend. When you have problems now, you just kind of, so you don't have anything. Let's keep on.
Of courage to show up as your true self, especially when you're young and you're just trying to fit in. But it's something I wish I would have figured out sooner. If I have one piece of advice to give, it's this. Courage is a muscle. Use it or lose it. The third thing that I regret from my 20s is going to college. See, when I was little...
Did you hear that? Courage is a muscle. You use it or you lose it. Tell the truth. Now, don't go tell the truth to everybody in town. I'm sick, I'm tired. Find few friends that you talk with and you can tell them the truth about the matter. Now, the next one.
It was a foregone conclusion that I was going to go to college. It was just one of the expectations my dad had instilled in me since I was little. Now, I don't have any problem with college in particular, though it did saddle me with over $50,000 of debt and 3 degrees that I've literally never used, but I think it can have a place for some people. It was good for me in the sense that it got me off the streets and put me moving towards a target during a period of my life where if I hadn't had that structure, I might have done some really stupid things. But here's the thing. It just delayed the inevitable. See, I ended up doing a bunch of really stupid things anyways. All college really did was it subsidized an unsustainable lifestyle with loads and loads of debt. And when I
Now, in America, the problem is that you can't go to college without loans. If you're a doctor, you go to, in America, one of my friends was telling me in the U.S., they envy Nigerian doctors. Because when you go to America, you go to finish medical school, you have at least $250,000 debt. You know how much school costs abroad now? $80,000. And can you now imagine how you're going to study both me and pay $80,000 for 3 or 4 years, and you come out, you can't get a decent job with both me except you're looking around for all those flowers. So you're already saddled. Now, a lot of our education here, I was talking to Professor Day just before I came for this service. I was sitting down. James is in U.S. now. And he was talking to his dad about their school system, that in that place, you are made to think. You go to class, not just listen to the lecturer, write down on paper, and then you get out there, you can do anything. But said you do your research, you find out yourself, you have time paper to go through, you have assignment, so that when you are coming out of school, Prof said this, that it really struck me. He said, our school system over here, you are left without deductive reasoning. Analysis. You can't deduce. And that's one of the greatest skills you need in life. 2 + 2 = 4. It doesn't work this way, let's take this way. It doesn't go that way, you need to retreat yourself. Not just going bon, 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 bon. I mean, if I'm going out now, I deduce that there's no road here, there's road here. But our school system doesn't teach us that. Only a few courses actually give us what to do in our future. If you study accounting, you do accounting. If you do engineering, God help you if you get an engineering job. Like, you know, Brother Bayewu, like, pray with us. He's a regional level now in banking. Guess what he studied? Botany. Now, by the way, go to university. It will help you. Get college education. It will help you to be able to be, if you are professional, fine. But if you are not, go to school. School will help you to be able to think straight and dress well and brush your mouth. Are you hearing me? Is that all right? Is that all right? I believe in continuing education. I'm reading all the time. I'm growing all the time. I just got another app I need to go and work on. I'm waiting to finish service to go and do some education. Now I'm going to YouTube to go and learn some things now.
Pastor, are you sure I should do that?
If you don't, you either read, learn, or you stink. So college in America is difficult to go because you pay all through your and study the wrong course. Okay, Shala, what did you study? Huh? Public health, so you are good. You are in public health now. Okay, not in private medicine. Okay.
I get out of school. I continued that pattern for a number of years so that by the time I was 28, I had $80,000 of debt. I wish I'd been forced on my own 2 feet sooner.
That is said about school is that it makes you to live your life in bubble. I go to school, I go to school, I go to school. You manage food. You can't think about how to walk. You go to uncle, ask auntie for money, but you never become responsible. Huh? Hello? Hello? So school also makes us to be dumb. Those things we are talking. I was going to school, said I'm working in the bank, right? And sometimes you go to school like this, there'll be sleeping bags on that size. Of course, Charles do the same thing. Go to school, do his masters, and come out with the best result. Clap your hands for Jesus. Now, he's still working. Hallelujah. I don't like going to school being hungry. You won't think straight. That's why I see all this yahoo in our schools, because it's just wasting their time. They don't have, so that's why they do all those crazy things they do. But if you have work you are doing, it can be that tremendous. All right, let's quickly round up this so we can get through with it. Oh, I put it off. What did I do?
All right, so I've got a confession.
What did I do? Oh, I went back. Another video. Interesting.
I'm a bit of a productivity.
Okay, let's look for it. Where was that video we just finished? Okay, this is the one. All right. Where did we get to? About, I think, the third one. All right. Let's move ahead. Okay. We should be.
Let's just. They've seen me struggling and could have helped me get out of my own way. See, it's not weakness to ask for help. And I know it takes a tremendous...
All right, let's see what I see here. Okay, school. All right, this is school. Okay.
Might have done some really stupid things. But here's the thing. It just delayed the inevitable. See, I ended up doing a bunch of really stupid things anyways. All college really did was it subsidized an unsustainable lifestyle with loads and loads of debt. And when I eventually did get out of school, I continued that pattern for a number of years so that by the time I was 28, I had $80,000 of debt. I wish I'd been forced on my own 2 feet sooner rather than taking money from my parents and the banks. I wish I'd been forced into the real world sooner because as I look back on my college years, I was never really forced to grow. I was allowed to live in this protected artificial bubble. And years later, that bubble popped. And I was then forced to adapt and overcome and ultimately discover what I was capable of. It was only after I'd run headlong into the brick wall of the real world that I really started growing. And if I had to do it all over again, I would have skipped school and taken responsibility for my education into my own hands. As Jim Rohn says, a formal education will make you a living. A self-education will make you a fortune. This has been...
Oh, did you hear that? A formal education will make you what? A living. But a self-education will make you what? A fortune. Training yourself, working on that path, you need to have that skill in. Now, something he said, which is very important, I'm thinking so, is that many of us, going to school make us to really avoid the real life and the real world. My daughter just finished. She's a lawyer. She just called to the bar. My third daughter. And she just got a job in Lagos. Now, she got to work. And so I seen all kinds of weirdos and wackos at work. I said, welcome to the real world. It's called concrete jungle. He said, my CEO, she was here when I was teaching about lion and all those four faces. Lion and, you should go and listen to that Tuesday. Lion and ox and human face and ego. Remember? She was here. She said, Daddy, my Oga, my CEO is just lion, nothing else. Just come, roar, 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 make noise. Abuse people, knock them out, blah, 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 blah. I said, welcome to real life. So sometimes school system just make us live in a world of bubble. Our parents are there, mommy are there, you go to school, you go collect money. Like he said, sometimes if you have spent your own money to go to school, you'll be much more wiser than Sola is laughing because he's paying the same school fees now. All right, I hope I've not messed that thing up again. Let's go. Let's round up this stuff. All right, great.
Incredibly true in my own life and something I wish I would have figured out sooner. Between Google, YouTube, and a literal mountain of educational content on the internet, there's nothing stopping you from acquiring any skill from the comfort of your laptop and couch. Yeah. The fourth thing I regret about my 20s is not cultivating my inner circle with intention. They say that you are the average of the five people you associate with the most. So if you hang out with five alcoholics, the chances are pretty good you're going to become the sixth. On the other side, if you hang out with 5 million...
Did you hear what I just said? Not cultivating my inner circle. If you have... Some of you, you're just picking friends. If you pick friends who are alcoholic, and five of them are alcoholic, you are likely to be a drunker soon. You will gravitate to the level of your inner circle. You have to be very, very strong not to let that inner circle affect you. Like Jesus, he was strong enough when Peter and James and John were sleeping, he could still pick up. But if he had been that good, it would have been a great leverage for him. Do you have an inner circle? You know, for instance, if you are looking at me, you think I don't have, I've been on internet since about 15 years. I got Wi-Fi to my house. Like I said, when I step outside my house, I'm in the global world. I got people all over that I'm associating with. That's why some people come and say, you don't act like a Nigerian. Because I can't afford to act like a Nigerian. I'll get too big in my head. We start ranking pastors in town. My kind of inner circle, they don't look for a word. They look for a real reward. Like somebody called me one day, all these guys, they don't know me. He said, Pastor, we have been thinking about, we have an award we are trying to plan, and this award, we've been looking at the best pastor of the year in Abeokuta. And so, your name came up with somebody else. And we've been really planning, and after discussion, we pick your name. I said, man, turn the wrong chap. And I got a quick wisdom. I said, Bible says, in honor, prefer one another. So that guy that came second, help me give him the honor. You know what? You know what? If they made me pastor of the year 2023, 2024, I'm out. And I start getting big in my mind, 2023, pastor of the year. And December 31st come. What are you? Have you ever noticed that every Miss Nigeria never repeat it? If you are Miss Nigeria last year, if you are this year, Osojoro. So my kind of inner circle, your kind of inner circle. Right now, on paper, list 1 to 5 people that you can say, hey, these guys are, they are my go-to, I talk to, I discuss with. For instance, preaching team, my inner circle. I read something about California woods. They call them redwood trees in America. It's in California. These redwood trees, some of them, they are as big as this building in their breadth. And they're about 500 meters tall. They've been there for almost 700, 800 years. And they don't have deep roots. Amazing. We discovered that those trees, they are together and they send their roots into one another. So they were holding themselves. Remember, Daniel, Meshach, James and John, Elijah and Elijah, Adam and Eve. All right, so write it down. Cultivating your inner circle. You regret it later if you... I hope I'm right. Let's see. Are we... Okay, all right. Let's
There's a good chance you're going to become the sixth. So... It took me a long time to realize this, that you are either being pulled down to the level of your friends or pulled up. So choose accordingly. And this is one of the greatest hacks for achieving greatness that I've personally ever stumbled upon. The amount of growth and progress I made once I started surrounding myself with people who were further down the path than I was, people who I wanted to be like, that I admired, it was tremendous. I believe proximity is power, and that you get what you tolerate. In my 20s, I surrounded myself with all the wrong things because, you see, I had this fear of looking stupid. And so I was obsessed with always being the smartest person in the room. And it was imperative for me to always be right. The thing is, you don't want to be the smartest person in the room. And if you are, that room is only holding you back. It wasn't until I put my ego aside and set out with the intention of surrounding myself with people who were objectively better than me at the things I wanted to be good at, that I started to really grow. Now, this part's hard, or at least it was for me, because when you're young, you're afraid of being rejected and you think, why would all these badasses want to hang out with me? But the truth is, people are drawn to authenticity. So if you show up as your true self, eager to learn and grow, and you put the ego aside, people will generally respond in kind. So don't make my mistake. Get out of your own way and go cultivate an inner circle that helps you uncover your greatness. And the fifth thing that I regret...
Okay. All right, are you here? Now, some people, because you want to surround yourself with people that are lower than you, they're just... That's normal, okay, but... If you are not having a higher group, you will wind up descending to their level. Remember, Lot in the Bible, Lot and his wife, they were great guys, righteous, but they wound up in Sodom and Gomorrah. And before you knew it, he lost his wife. He came out himself, but he had lost almost everything. Huh? Great. So let's look at this last one. This one is about, you will love this one.
About my 20s. Is not wearing more sunscreen. When you're in your 20s, everything is so easy. You look good in a way that you can't appreciate until you're much, much older. Your body is amazing. You can eat pretty much whatever you put into it. You can party hard. You can get by on zero sleep. And there's practically no real world consequences. In reality, you are racking up a bill that your future self is going to have to pay. Now, some areas of my life I wish I'd given more attention to when I was young is, first, skincare. Seriously, the sun is eating you up in ways you don't even realize. And this, I know, is old man advice for sure, but do your future self a favor and wear more sunscreen. Also, brush and floss way more
brush
than you're already
teeth,
doing.
Floss your mouth.
Okay. I know this sounds silly.
You know, this is important here. I wish I learned that too. Take care of yourself. He's a white guy, so he said, use sunglasses. Don't run roughshod. You see, when you are younger, you can do anything with your body. You can do anything, you can move, you don't care, you can eat anything, you still survive. Huh? Coke in the morning, Sprite in the afternoon, Mirinda in the evening, and bread, biscuit, and that thing they sell that's inside, what like that? What's it? Gala. And your body will take it, but actually, you are putting up bills that your future will pay. Are you hearing me? When you talk about teeth, I knew what he was talking about. When I was younger, I didn't take care of my teeth. So I visit dentists regularly to clean my teeth now. I do cleaning. I have to go and buy electric brush and start. And when I start cleaning, I start getting better. So your body is the only clothes you have, you don't change. You go home now, you change your clothes. Or you don't change your body. Don't become a frequent visitor of hospital and doctors later in life. Somebody said, Pastor, you look great. I'm working on myself too. It's not been easy over the years. Nothing drags down your body like bad emotions, fear, anger, disrespect, sadness, depression. Those are the negative emotions that will destroy your life. And you must learn to master them when you are younger and work on your health. Exercise. Now, you don't have to now. You can sleep anytime you want to. Wake up. Try and work on yourself. Your 20s may not be that great, but you can make amends. So what are the five things we have learned today from this? Let's go. What's the first one? Not investing early enough. And what that investment is about? Relationships and what? Sales. What can bring money for you in your future? What's the second one? You guys, if you need to write anything down, take out your phone now and type there. Come on. You can't, Pastor, I'm not in my 20s anymore. Good for you. You need to go back and check it so you know what you need to repair. What's the first one? Do you have them on the screen over there? Or we don't have them? You're still working on them? All right, great. So what's the first one? Not investing enough. What's the second one? Oh, Pastor, I can get the video. You can just pick up the video on your phone, YouTube, but type it down somewhere. What's the second one? They ask one lady, what is a lie? It's a lie to God. It's an abomination, but it's a present help in time of trouble to escape. How do we lie? Appearance. How do we lie? Not telling our group inside, our those who are close to us, the truth. How many of you play football when you were very small without soccer boots? You play football. And then you go and play, you kick something, and then your toenail fly out. Anybody like me? And then what do you do when you stop the game? You take sand, bam, bam, right? And I keep on playing. And when you finish playing, you do like this, you get to mommy, grab you. Your mommy did that to you too. And I start washing the thing off. And say, fake pamini, fake pamini. No pain now. I'm just adding more bacteria to myself. A lot of things we do when we're younger, learn our way through. What's the third one? Huh? Going to college, wasting money on what is not real education, learning your way through and picking things up. One of the, let me give you three greatest skills you can ever develop in life. Number one, the skill of thinking. The skill of thinking. One of the greatest skills in life is to know how to think. If you know how to think, you can actually get yourself out of any issue. You know why God is better? His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. He thinks far better than us. Second one is the skill of speaking. Speaking clearly, speaking persuasively, speaking, getting your point across, not just murmuring under your breath. Tosin was talking about that. See, you know where we are talking? About talking clearly. How many of you want to get to that global practice? You're going to get to that level of global level. Anybody here? You can't be talking like Nigeria. You people. You have to clear up your talking, you know. You have to sound better for the world to listen to you. Right? Great. I said the gift of what? Thinking. Sorry, the skill of thinking. The skill of talking. The last skill, it has a very funny name. The skill of reality. You know you are broke. You tell yourself you are broke. You are angry. Tell yourself, I'm angry. When you are jealous, turn the emotion, you are jealous here. Yeah. Shut up and keep quiet and deal with that envy. See, that for me is the biggest one. Because when I can face reality, life becomes easier for me. I got friends that lament about Abeokuta. I'm not in Lagos. I'm in Abeokuta here. I've woken up to that. Is that all right? I meet friends. I got some friends that they have better cars, greater cars. I have children in university. The last one is just finishing now. Huh? That's gift of reality or skill of reality. You know how to see reality and face it. If you know how to see reality, you're going to live in bubble all your life and you're going to feel bad. When you are sacked, you know you are sacked. And you know that you cannot spend money anyhow now. Those are your friends. Tell them, what sack me? El Joko. That kind of a thing. You know how to face reality. All right? Okay. What's it? Fourth one that we learn? Your inner circle. Developing. If you are going to go somewhere, find some people who are going there and then be authentic enough and stop going around like this. Be my mentor. Stop talking like that. You know, I come and tell me, be my mentor. I know you are running away after a while. Don't ask people, I want to be my, don't start talking first. Just hang around them. Hang around people. Just visit them. Ask them questions. Don't start saying, be my mentor, be my father, be my mother, be my blah, blah, blah. They're the ones who run away first. But just go ask questions. Sit down with them. One of the best things you can do to get people to really help your life is ask questions. Sir, how did you do that? What can I do about this? Crates. One time, David took me out, paid for the food. So he started asking me questions. You know, we're in a restaurant. We should do it again, at my own expense now, right? You know, I was talking to they just got married. They've been married for about a couple of years. So they're talking to me, and they're talking about marriage, and they were talking, and when I had both of them, they were just like my wife and I. Whoa. I said, you know what? I've been there. I had to talk to the guy, telling him the way he's behaving. He said, huh? How do you know? See, if I'm going to Lagos, and you are coming from Lagos, my future is your past. You are coming from there. I'm going there. You got that? So inner circle. What's the fourth one? Huh? Take care of yourself. Do we have it on the list now? Is it ready now? You can take a screenshot. Okay, good. Not investing in early enough. Telling too much lies. Going to college. Study both me. Developing your inner circle. Oh, you can study both and get first class, then go and teach, if they allow you to come and teach. Developing your inner circle. What's the final one? Wearing sunglasses, protect your health. Self-care is important. All right, do we get it? If you are your 20s, work on this. If you are your 30s, start working on this to see that you are not sort of changed by this. All right? Clear? Okay, can we ask any question before I finish? Okay, let's ask questions about this. Don't just be looking at me like that. Ask questions, right? Let's feel free. Ask questions about things like this. Okay, thank you, Anthony. That's his name. I like the guy. He's just, you know, like all this motivational talk. Motivational. Yeah, you're going to do it. No, it gets straight on your face. For instance, he recommends that you get a job. Don't start on your own. Get a job. And talk about what job is all about. It'll give you certain skill to handle people, to handle resources, to handle your life. And said, usually, if you get a bad boss, it can be a tremendous assistance for your future. I like the guy. Just straight out, you know. Okay, good. Protecting your health. Protecting your health, not just your body. Okay, you got a question? Go ahead, please.
Thank you very much, sir. I must say, this particular video, probably I picked some very major things, especially as regards to things that are affecting me currently.
Beautiful. I'm glad.
Because I think right now is one of my darkest times in my whole life, in my entire life. And as for, of course, some of the things that happened to this guy probably is happening to me and probably at the same age that it happened to him.
I'm glad to hear that.
So now my question is now, the fact that sometimes, or maybe an opinion though, sometimes some of these things can be individualistic. As he actually went through it, he himself, and he passed through using some of these things and regret some of them. Sometimes these things could be an advantage even as people go through it naturally, because I've actually figured out that the more we overthink about some of these things, the more we try to say, yes, I have to be very, very intentional. I want to be very, very intentional about some of these things particularly. It may or may not seem as, it may seem as if we are relying too much on our own.
Let's take one like telling lies. What? How do we say that? How do we have
okay,
that?
Okay, for instance, telling lies. At some point, some lies that you...
Can help you.
No. At some point, some lies that you don't tell, we actually make you go through pains. The lies that you don't tell, we make you go through pains, and yeah, that pain will be like a journey to Damascus for you, that you are going to experience that very dark moment. That's what I'm facing now, actually.
Fantastic.
So I was honest about something, and it cost me a lot of things, like something very precious to me. So sometimes,
if you want to ask on paper, please, papers are available. Just collect papers. You can write your questions down or your observation or something. Yeah.
So sometimes, in as much as I agree with some of these things, I still believe in at some point, just like Jacob in the Bible, at some point, God might want to be confronted
with that stuff.
God might want to use some of these things to make us have some regrets that we can even point to in the past and probably teach some other people.
Like him. Yeah, he did.
So in my own view, I think in everything, we should just move with God naturally and allow some things to flow.
I like that. But at the same time, too, you move with God in reality. When, for instance, look at this video today. This is God working, telling you that too much lies. Even as an unbeliever, I won't help you. So what do? You can walk away from here and say,
you just have to be careful. Yeah. I won't tell lies anymore. Yeah.
And I keep on doing that. And one of these days, you know, God has a way of teaching us in three ways. Number one, he talks to us. Number two, tells us to tell us. Number three, we get beaten. Yeah, I just said. Number one, he whispers to you, your conscience. Stop talking to your girlfriend like that. That's not right. Then you don't listen to that. Then one guy said, don't talk to that girl like that. It's not right now. Then third, she give you breakfast. Then you start crying. Then you know that you are really, you don't have to get to that breakfast. You can start from dinner night before of thinking, you know. So one of the ways, let me answer your question better now. One of the ways I found out you can change your life very powerfully is by spending time to meditate in the Word of God. See, a lot of us just come to church and just listen. We never process what we are listening to. We never process. Church has really, if anything I hate about church can make you worse. You know why I say church can make you worse? Because church can be a lie. Church can be a lie. You come to church, so you think you're already okay. I'm already godly. You know? Like, for instance, now, you just got into your school, university admission. You think you're not undergraduate. You still have to pass your exams. And that facing that reality can be very difficult sometimes. How about making some sense? So it's good to meditate and look at your life. Once in a while, call yourself to a meeting. Are you hearing me? Do it quite early. When I was younger, I did that a lot. A lot of things I'm doing that resourceful is because I spend time. I remember even in my village, I'll go to the church of my KBAC. I'll go with a mat and sit down and ask myself, what do I have inside of me? I take Bible and paper, start writing them down. That's how I got distinction twice in WAEC and GCE. I asked myself, what do I require over here to be my best? And what do I need to pay for it? And I just, you know, because I'm an introvert, that helped me a lot. An introvert is a person who withdraws within himself, but that can lead to debilitating depression too, you know. But if you can use it well, so you learn to just withdraw to yourself and ask yourself some questions, particularly take a day in a week or regularly, ask yourself, how am I doing? I taught ourselves in church to ask two questions a lot of time. What is my business? Number two, how is business? You can apply that to every area of your life. As a pastor, what's my business here? And how is business? As a parent, what's my business as a parent? Many of us don't know our business as a fiancé or fiancée. You don't know your business. Huh? For instance, you know, you are going out with somebody, he asks you to come and cook it for him every week. You are a fiancé, not a wife yet. Huh? So you know your business. Huh? Hello? So know your business. Paul, his business in the choir is that sax. Are you having and how's business? Are you working on it? I don't want to see you nodding your head. I want to see you praying better. Betterment is the key. All right, fantastic. Yes. David, thank you.
Thank you very much, Reverend.
You're welcome.
That video was helpful. And my question is, you mentioned the fact that, as in the skills that we need to learn as youths. Huh? You mentioned the skills we need to learn as youths. And you said the skill of reality.
Yeah.
And as believers, especially in the area of faith, I notice that sometimes faith itself can make us, in quotes, delusional.
Thank you. I like that. Let's clap for him. Faith can make you delusional.
Even in the Bible, we see somewhere that says, as believers, that we call things that are not as though they be.
Yeah.
So even that itself, to me, is almost another definition for lying itself.
Thank you. Now, are you through?
So I just want to know how to balance this.
You know, that's the problem with church. That's the problem with church. We don't actually read ourselves. We just, that pastor said, he faked it before he made it. So he started saying, I'm a millionaire. And they said to him, you know, they sent him 1 million naira. Have you ever asked, why did they pay 1 million naira? Have you ever asked, when he was saying that, what did he get? Let me give you one of the best verses on faith. Are you ready? Romans 12, verse 3. Come and read it. Interesting. Take a look. Look at this verse. Wow. Talking about faith here. Can you look up, everybody? For I said through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly. Oh, can you see that? As God has dealt to each the measure of faith. Give us an NLT. Maybe we'll make it clearer. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be what? Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given you. Pastor, how do I do that? Okay? David, listen to this. Yeah, I'm going to get faith. I will build myself a bungalow. Last time, what did you build? Yeah, praise the Lord. I like that car, man. That Lexus 330. Yeah, I'm going to get it. Have you ever had faith to get a bicycle? Motorcycle? Have you ever? Huh? Yeah, praise God for 5 million. Have you got from God before 5,000 naira? Huh? You know, even in business, you take step by step. If you jump here, you're going to crash. So a lot of time, people do things. Learning to go about things with a sober estimate of what you are doing is so important. You know yourself. I can tell you the truth. If you sit by yourself, alone by yourself, you know that, hey, man, I'm not able to do this. Then you cannot go and marshal faith, marshal scriptures, get things to put yourself over this. Come on. If you are going out and you know taxes 500 naira and you got 300 naira. You'd be a fool to turn on the road and say, what do? You go back home and pick more money. So faith is something you go back to go and pick and get ready with it. Do it make some sense? I see people in the hospital, they never believe God for headache before. Headache. There's somebody sick now. Ah, what God cannot do? Olodo. Doesn't exist. What God can do exists plenty. God cannot tell lies. God cannot deny himself. Are we here? It's a good phrase to get God to capture your attention. But really, in reality, it doesn't really work. So somebody he never believed God before for anything. And now the uncle has cancer. Let us pray. No. You don't do that. Remember David who killed Goliath? He said, first of all, I killed the lion and the bear. That's the proof. That's why the devil ask you and say, are you sure this will happen? Don't say, my God. It's like saying, are you sure you get first class? Yes, why? I mean, you are. That won't do it. That just won't do it. Let's look at your former PG. What do you call it now? Yeah, all that stuff, academic records. You have been on 2-2 below. Say, I declare, I decree. You're going to find yourself in third class. All right, great, yes. But you can apply strength and push yourself forward and get that done because you soberly estimate yourself. Thank you. Yeah. And you must know what you cannot do, what you can do. Some things I don't do. I won't say, I want to go and believe God for stadium now. Move every say. All right, thank you. Yeah, anybody else? Yes, Eri, thank you.
Good afternoon, sir, and good afternoon, church. Okay, so I know someone going through this cycle, and it's almost like the person's same age, exactly the person's same age, and the person is very close to me. And with all of this happening, the person's battling with a lot of suicidal thoughts, a lot of suicidal thoughts and depression.
Yeah.
Where I have a very strong struggle is the person is not a believer also.
Yeah.
But the person is someone very dear to me.
Yeah.
So I always struggle with knowing how to help the person, especially the fact that the person is not a believer.
Okay.
Of course, I pray for this person, yeah, and I do that. So, yeah. But I really don't know how to help.
Oh, fine. Thank you. Let's apply the skill of reality. Let's apply skill of reality. Eddie, this is fantastic. You have to sit down with the person and say, maybe go out for a lunch or something and say, sit down. I've been praying for you. Oh, praise God. Thank you for praying for me. But I can't help you for that. Because I wish you know the Lord so that we can deal with this from the Lord's point of view. That I know the answer from the Lord and you need to meet the Lord before we can go on with this. But if you don't go on with the Lord with this, I don't think I can help you further on this. That's gift of reality or skill of reality. You have to tell him the story. You just can't. That's what happened to us a lot of time. Remember those friends that had paralyzed friend? Those four of them. They brought that guy. They got to the gate. Place was jammed packed. But they do what friends could do. They climbed up the roof. They broke through the roof. By the way, it's the house of Jesus himself. That was his headquarter in Capernaum. That's why nobody complained. So they dropped the guy before Jesus, and their work stopped. They can do anything again. If the guy never got up, they can't go get him. I hope you're making some sense. For instance, your parents can pay your school fees, but they can't go to the exam hall with you and write an exam for you. That's called the Christian. You pick them. So you must know your boundary and tell them the reality. I can't help you further. I wish I could help. I know what to do. I know what you can do about this. I know the Bible book you can read, the Bible you can read. That person will start saying, say what? Let's talk about this more. But if you don't face that and look away from it and just keep on trying to, you enter a dimension where you are going nowhere, but you are moving. That's why I like doctors. You know, in hospital, doctors won't say, they will not say, hey, you are dead! Or, nothing's wrong with you. They have this gift of reality, your skill of reality. They will say, sir, I want to tell you that we have checked all the tests and you have this problem. But this is what we can do. This is what we can do. They will not say, like Barajesu, to go back to long. That's Babalawo. Amarisi. They have skill of reality. I can go further. I can go further. I can do this. I can do that. Oh, there was a girl in the Bible. She was a housemaid to a general in the army. And the general had a problem in his body. She could not make that general well. He said, but I know somebody you can get to that can help you. One of my friends recently, I have some serious friends, you know. He said, he had these people that are quite close to him. He said, I know I can't talk to you very well, so let me take you to my friend who can be away from that closeness and talk with you. You know what I want out of your life? I have a problem here. Let me tell you why I do this kind of a thing. I could be doing other things than this youth and singles. I could come, bring all these singers, put my face cap back. Yeah. I can be doing that. And I'll get this place filled up. But I'll be injuring your future. Because something happened to you every day, you are getting older. And that stage, you are going to leave it. And you don't have the asset to face that other future, it'll be very bad. So that's why I have to kind of brutal sometimes with myself to just come over here and play this kind of video for you. Not because I like it. I want to just want to make, but I can't let you go to your future unprepared. We can be together over here now, but we won't play here together forever. You will leave. You go somewhere. But you know the kind of joy I have. I've gotten guys over the years, both abroad and home, that they have passed through this place, and I've tried to constrain myself from trying to make myself big and just reduce myself to make them better so that they can live a life in the future that can be very, very healthy and helpful. And I'm glad for what I've seen, the fruit of that in my life. Hallelujah. So tell somebody beside you, I want to hear the truth. Sometimes it can be bitter. Tell them you can put some sugar with it, but don't remove the truth. Is that all right? Thank you. Let's clap our hands for Jesus. All right, beautiful. Another thing. Now, let me say something about that will help you. There is nothing that can be wrong in your life that cannot be righted through Jesus. Nothing. Now, it may be difficult way, may be hard, but no matter what in your life that is so difficult, God's help can take you beyond it. Now, I'm not saying that happens next week or next month. Or I'm not saying that there's one prayer we can pray on the mountain that will change everything like that. No. But we can walk through it. Paul, thank you.
Thank you very much, sir, for this. Paul. Now, the issue of inner cycle.
Yeah.
I have problem with that. It's not that I don't have friends. I have friends.
Yeah.
Jeremiah, Tosin, Adiemi, guys like that. But when now come to inner circle, I don't have that.
Okay.
Like I don't have people that I can say, okay, these are close, like they're my closest friend, like I talk to, you know, the inner circle, death's finished.
Maybe we should rephrase that like this. Where are you going? Professional life? Relationship-wise, marriage, where are you going? Now, where you are going should tell you one thing. Who are there? Who can, remember that mentor you had? You know, who can take me there? That's not my friends like Jeremiah and Kua. We have that. I'm still doing that with them. We're living life together. But then I ask myself, I want to accomplish this. Then who can I talk to? You may not even be a Christian. But is honest, sincere enough to help me arrive there. Come on. If I want to be a surgeon, I won't seek my counsel from Baba Adeboye. Let me explain myself before you say Baba Adeboye care. How can you say that? Imagine you are having a serious surgical need and they take you to the operation room and they say, we have two choices. World-class surgeon to cut you, Baba Adeboye to cut you. Which one will you pick? You're going to be a Nigerian. I know what you will say. Baba Adeboye, don't go too far. Stay outside and pray for me. Why the man is cutting me inside here? So I will say this to you that if you are getting somewhere, you want to be, maybe something you want to do professional-wise, you get people that are in that kind of caliber. Now, you may not have them sometimes physically speaking. I have people who are teaching me that lived here 300 years ago, 400 years ago. Are you hearing me? Like one day, one pastor came and said, Reverend, You're just different. You do things well. You do. He said, who are your counselors? I laughed. I said, Matthew, Mark, John, Peter. He said, get real. I said, I'm realer than you are. So you can do that. In the area of marriage, some of you are here, you don't have anybody you are talking to. I just only praying. Find some couples that are really doing great. Go to them. Don't act by yourself. You can always call them. Even if you are disturbed and down, you can always be there. But just don't stay by your room and watch TV and watch TV and watch all those firecracker magic of the guy that left his wife and left the 3 children. Hey, Jesus. No, don't do that. Find guys, go to their house, play with them, play with their children so you don't have to handle children before you have children. Huh? Great. You want to go abroad? You want to go abroad? Where? I'm going abroad. Where abroad? I'm going abroad. My daughter, before she went to Canada, she studied the best place in Canada where you can actually live, where they can be friendly with your children, where you can pay less money, where the housing. She got all that fact clear in her hands and she prayerfully seek them. And she followed through. She says she won't jump guns. And when she got to that place, somebody asked her, who told you to come here? How did you know about this? You know, we are the most blessed generation. YouTube is there. Wow, so much around us today. You can learn anything. You can do so much. So please, you can pick up guys. Now, this guy is younger than me that I was watching. Am I right? But I like something he could say that I could help you with. So I started listening to him. He was talking about the problem of phone in your life. He's talking about breaking the addiction of phone. This guy is not a deeper life owl. But you notice that you cannot really do much with your life and become a multi-millionaire by looking at your phone all the time. You're just paying money for Zuckerberg. I'm going to call his name Facebook founder. You know. That's it. All right, great. Anybody else? Anybody else with a question? What about paper? No paper? All right. Anybody else? Ask. It's a good chance to ask questions. All right. Let's close like this. Before we eat, there's a third thing I want to bring to you that is very important here. Okay, somebody. Okay, great. Yeah, thank you. Before I say what I want to say, let's hear his question. See, I'm out. This is youth and single service.
Praise God.
Yes.
This number 3, going to college or yes. Not going to college.
Yeah.
I feel like with this, in this type of country here.
Yeah.
And the type of education they offer in secondary school.
Yeah.
Is it not just advisable to just go to college first and do whatever you want to do later?
Okay, great.
Because some of my mates that did not go to college, their mentality is still kind of stuck in that secondary school level.
I agree with you. I agree with you. You know why I agree with you? Everybody listen to this now. What we say, when they say talking about going to college, he's talking about going to school, college, where in America, I'm giving you the context now. You go to school, you pay so much amount of money, and you come out, you can get a job. It's not even available. But you know, America today, there are all kinds of certification. Even for washing plates. For washing plates, certification. Okay. So you start doing things like that. And can I even advise you that try and raise your money for school? Stop depending on your parents, except they are very well to do. For instance, if you want to go to medical school now, you don't have time to do any kind of work. You get some parents have to pay. All right, that's okay. But don't just live student life forever. I believe that you should go to university so that it can brush your thinking. But I'm surprised today, even university today, guys are not getting their mind brushed at all. You know, university, when I was going to university, we stay in the hostel, my university days, and we rob mine. When this university started, OOU, we used to mock at them, we used to laugh at them those days. Because they never had hostel, they were just staying with all the villagers. So they have village thinking. I mean, you go to university, when you debate with a guy in your class or in your hostel, when they finish with you, you go and read your books again. But today, they don't do things like that anymore. So thinking, university is to help you to think. It's to help you to come out. You may not, that degree, you may not use it, but can I do it? So I would say to you that get to, if you're a professional, like now, if you want to do, If you're into computer or IT thing, you have to go to university, get computer science, or decide to certification or exam. Am I right? You can't proceed further. And like you said, it's important to go to school a little bit, and good school that will make you think, that make you that just open you up. But how many of you know Abuad, Federal Law University? The man didn't go to school as such. He taught himself books. He did private GC and co. Then went to go and do law degree by extension. And today he's one of the best in our countries. The greatest thing is to self-educate yourself. You can even go to school. If you don't teach yourself what you're learning, it won't do you any good. A lecturer over here. People can come to class, sit down there, and then just give it to us. Let's get out. Children that are very paying attention, they are getting through it. All those things you do in school, they help you to be able to do better in life in the future. I'm just going to school because, when it was strike. If you go to school and when they strike, you are happy. You're not in school. You're playing Ludo. You should be angry when they strike. All right. No more. Let me deal with something that will help you in your... Let me add something to this guy, something I want to add for you. How did he do all this? Now, I want to give you a principle today that will help you. This principle has been understood in the church. Jeremiah asked the question before. Let's go to Matthew 11. Something I want to show you today. I want you to keep this on your left hand so you won't eat with it. I'm start rounding up. Solomon, I know. I'm trying to keep my time. Great. Matthew 11. Thank you, Shola. Matthew 11. Now, this event, I want you to see this. Now, please, everybody listen well. Can I? How many of you picture Christ like this? How many of you picture Christ? This is where you see Jesus. Old, long beard. After finishing life around 65, he said, I am the savior of the world. Can you imagine Christ was about around 29, 30 when he started his ministry? He died at 33 years old. What? So when you're reading Jesus, don't read someone like, I said to you, did you hear me? And John, his cousin, they're in their 30s too. 6 months difference between them. There's something that must accompany youthful life that will help you in the future. Take a look at your Bible. Matthew 11. Verse 1. Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. Now follow now. When, next verse. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, follow carefully here now, he sent 2 of the disciples to go and check him up. What did he say? Next verse. And said to him, are you the coming one? Follow this story. Are you the coming one or do we look for another? Now I'm reading this verse in this context. Give us verse 12 first. Look at verse 12. Give us verse 12 first. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. I don't know if I've had this verse before in one church, in one program, in any kind of a thing. And the next thing you know is that the guy starts talking very hard. I said, violent. They take it by violence. I said, violent. Pray, you know. And they think it's all in the four walls of the church. But Christ was not in the four walls of the church talking about violence and the bazooka tongues. Where was he? I'm giving you the context. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute. So we're in verse 3, right? They came to come and check up his work. Are you the coming one or do we look for another one? Next verse. Now, what was Christ's answer? Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. No, John was asking, he had the report about Jesus. And then when they came and they said, Jesus, John said we should come and check up on you. He says, just stop there. I'm going to prove to you by my results. I'm not here to come and discuss. So he said, just watch. And there they are. He was on his entire mission. He was hyper-focused on his mission. And he was pushing it through. And when they came to question his credibility, what did he offer? Discussion? Paper clips? No. dead raised, poor preached to. And he said, anyone who is not offended me, I'm here. It's showing that by their works, you will know them. Are you hearing me? He said, by their fruit. Fruit comes from something you plant that you work on. Am I right? Fruit of your labor. So Jesus Christ was showing that, look here, if they come to question you, what do you have to show for it? 5 years of school, you can't come out with a pass. You're not showing so much out of it. And the reason why you don't do that, we'll see it in minutes now. Why are you not so powerfully effective? Why don't you get results? Help us clean this thing from the screen. There's another one here too, guys. Thank you. Pelumi. So Christ is talking about getting results, getting fruit, proving something. Let's keep reading. Give us verse 4 now. Okay, verse 7. Now, follow now. As these guys left Jesus from John, Jesus began to say to the multitude concerning John, what did you go out to see? Thank you. Can you look up, everybody? Give us in the Bible that is clearer, NLT. Guys, quickly, NLT. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began talking about him to the crowd. What kind of man did you go out to see in the wilderness? Was he a weak reed grass swayed by every breath of wind? Can you imagine John the Baptist was born by aged parents? And when he came out like that, he went to the bush. For 30 years, nobody knew him. Then he came out later wearing jeans, you know, camel's clothes, and eating grasshopper and honey. And he was in the bush and screaming, repent! And the whole country began to come. He was so hyper-focused that they came to come and watch him. He was so driven by his mission that everything else was neglected. His life had only one sand, his mission. Jesus said, what do you go and see? A man that today is going right and tomorrow changes his mind? One of the problems of many of us who are younger, 20 and 30s, is that we are too fickle. We're not pushing ourselves. When you see any guy succeeding in their 20 and 30s, you can see them, they are focused. That's why I believe everybody of you should go and study marketing. You go and study marketing. Go to GNLD, apply. You learn how to market.
Pastor, I'm a philosopher.
Learn how to market. Why? Because in marketing, you will see people in their various colors. They will insult you. They will deceive you. They will welcome you. All kinds of people you will see. And all kinds of colors and pictures. Next verse, quickly. Or were you expecting to see a man dressed in expensive clothes? No. People with expensive clothes live in palaces. What's the meaning of that? See, a lot of us, we want the soft life. Huh? But soft life requires hard work. You can't be carrying 3 ATMs full of money if you don't put money there. Right? He said, John, it's not the guy who is just political. How many of you have heard what Facebook guy went through? Can you imagine, what is his age now? This is about 40-something. Can you imagine being dragged before U.S. Congress? All the cameras in the world facing you, and they are calling you Jack, you're a greedy capitalist. And he had a sense of mind to stay there and convince them and go back to business and do well. And number 50 or something, richest man in the world today. Now, you think he's just walking and just sit down, do nothing? It's hyper-focus. We don't see that. All we just see is the glamour. We are not getting something done, not getting the kind of work it requires. That's why I like all these high-tech guys. You know, we are brought up to wear jackets. Also, people that started fighting jackets as pastor years ago. Before in the late 90s, early 80s, I used to wear jackets without ties. Then they came and started copying me later. Everybody now wear jackets without tie. Huh? I've been wearing jeans for years on the bank. One day they recognized that jeans will come on Fridays. See, you know where I wear jeans? I'm here for hard work and the lasting work. Jeans is hard, it's tough. That's why I like this man, Lagos. Former governor of Lagos. He's in face cap, want to walk. These guys, see, our guys want to, they like party. They're not violent enough. We're coming to that in a minute. Look at next verse. So he said something to them. He said, well, are you looking for a prophet? Yes! And it's more than a prophet. Keep on reading with me. What he said next? John is the man to whom Jesus said, in fact, when he said, look, I'm sending my messenger ahead of you and he'll prepare your way before you. Next verse. I tell the truth of all who have ever lived. Known is what? There's a kind of decisiveness about John, about sense of mission. Can I ask you a question? How long will you be playing with your life? How long you just want pleasure? I tell ladies this, don't marry a man who is packed. You are going to help. If a guy tell you, I want to marry you, ask him, what are you doing? I'm going to help you with. You know why my wife liked me? You know why she liked me? I was a serious guy. I was too serious for her after a while. You know, I don't joke. I just live like that. He said, when they said, are you a human being? I said, by the way, that's why you married me. I was serious. Yet, even the least person in the kingdom of heaven, greater than he. Now look at next verse now. And I said, from the time John Baptist began preaching until now, he was saying this. Now, we are going to be raising people like Jesus and John the Baptist, who will come against their feelings and their pleasure and do something worthwhile with their lives. They're going to take life by violence. They got 3,700 naira. They will take 3-5 out and throw it away for somebody else and stay like that and see God move. There'll be a lady that will get married and don't wait for soft life and make something out of this guy's life. That's the violence. The violence we've got today is to say, let's stand up to it. Let's be our best. Let's do our good. Let's make impression. Let's make impact. Because we can't play forever. We can't play forever. Huh? Small time now, you have 3 children. Watch me. You think that time is flying? What are you going to do? So I'm not trying to come and make you sad today, but be hyper-focused. He said, it's forcefully advancing. Let each day pay dividends to you. Don't be nice to yourself. Later, be nice to yourself, but don't be too soft on yourself. See, if you are too soft on yourself now, life will be hard on you later. But if you are hard on yourself, life will be softer on you later. Are you hearing me? You know, if you study, I went to medical school, so I know what I'm talking about. You know what? Anybody who goes to medical school can succeed in anything in life. Do you know what? Because medical school, 12 midnight, you're just starting the day. You're just starting the day. You got books to read, man. My first time in anatomy class, we enter, and it was in loose, and they put this thing, they put all this room, they put some tables there, and they cover it with this white sheet. And they say, oh yeah, take number 1 to 10. And they say, line up over there. I opened the thing, it was cadaver looking at me like this. Dead human body. I told myself, boy, where's your mommy? What are you doing here? They said, where's your knife? Start cutting. This is not mama now. I was there. I can't tell a lie. I said, my scalpel is in those things. I said, go bring it. We start cutting. The guy was looking like this. I think he had tribal marks on his face. So we start cutting. When we finished cutting, I got to the cafeteria. I couldn't eat because human flesh was smaller than me. By the 6th month, we were putting the scapula in our bedroom. We were beating ourselves with an even score. In medical school, you have to be violent with yourself. You have to pay the sacrifice. And you know what? That's why we pay them so much money as doctors. Life can pay you so much money if you are hard on yourself and put things right with you. And do things not because you feel like it, but because you have to do it.
Pastor, the way you are talking, don't you like enjoyment at all? What do I enjoy?
Okay, give yourself a break. Work like Trojan. Then one day out of the week, go on spray. Spend all the money, all right? Then go broke, wake up, Monday start work again. Is that all right? You know, get to it. You can be rich, you can be famous, you can be great without 419. Yahoo, yahoo. What I'm asking today is to be violent with yourself, with your appetite, with sleep, with playing around. We're just sitting and doing nothing. And pull yourself out of it and say, I can do something more with my life. Now, I can tell you this. When you start that, they start attacking you. Your friends will say, Johnny, I'll tell you, man, I'll borrow a... Oh, disappear. No, disappear. I'm going to leave. Close the lane. Costume. Close the phone. Certification. Oh, serious. You can't have the job. Let me go. Johnny, but he's crazy. See, that's violent on you. Johnny, but he's crazy. Yeah. So tell yourself, I must forcefully advance against my feelings. Is that all right? You know what? I slept around 1 o'clock. I slept around 12 overnight. I woke up around 1 something, 2 something, 3 something. Around 4, I started doing some things, get ready. Past 5, I was still finding some things I need to buy abroad. I got through, got on my bed, lay down for about an hour, the alarm rang, 6 o'clock. I jumped to the bathroom, took my bath, I'm here. I ran from morning till service, I got a sermon, I've been preaching different services till now. If I'm not hard on myself, I won't do that. And you know my goal? That you thrive, that you flourish. That's enough joy for me. So tell somebody beside you, it's time for your real self to come out. Is that all right? Is that all right? Can you do yourself a favor that the person who will marry you will be so happy that after 30 years, he will say, if I never marry you, I will regret my life. Are you hearing me? For instance now, I can't imagine missing my wife. I can't. My wife, man, bundle of assets, abilities, skills, all kinds of things. She runs stuff. I don't sit down with all these details. Get into it, move that one, get over there. I just say, okay, I tell her, put money there. And she won't spend it. I tell her, get the money out, let's go after this project. Pa, 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 like that. It's fantastic. Not just sitting down and say, husband, give me your ATM. Like one guy told his wife, you think I'm ATM? He said, what else are you? Now, can I close like this? What's the next step you can take to make your life better? What's the next step you can take? Pastor, I need to pray more. Pastor, I need to read more. Pastor, I need to upgrade myself. Pastor, I need to learn how to think better. I need some books on thinking. Maybe. What is the next step? Will you take it? I need more customers. I need to learn how to handle this boss. Yeah. What's the next step you can take? Now, can I close like this? Stop thinking about your need. Stop thinking about, when am I going to get married? When am I going to build my house? When am I going to buy my car? Those things you are going to follow by course. You know, years ago, I was thinking, when am I going to get my car? I never got any car by thinking, when am I going to get my car? But I've used many cars. I've given out cars. Now, not thinking about, when am I going to get my car? Are we okay? So tell yourself, call yourself by name. Tunde Amosun, get violent with yourself. Get violent with yourself. I hope I'll come back again, talk about letter F-O-R-C-E. Take it by force. By force, write it down, F-O-R-C-E. Let's, first, number one, letter F, by the force of faith. Letter O, by the force of obedience. Letter F, faith. Letter O, letter R, resisting whatever is trying to stop you from being your best. Don't just kind of pull up, resist it. You must live a life of resistance. Resisting things in your life. getting angry, sleeping too much, resisting it. Don't just paddy it. Let us see. Conviction. What are you convinced about? And lastly, letter E, endurance. You take it by the force of faith. You take it by the force of obedience, the force of resistance, the force of conviction, and the force of endurance. That's the key. And can I close like this? You know, actually, you are advancing when you fail. When you fail, it's like that, like he said, it brings you to reality what you don't have. It's good to fail once in a while. It's good to run into trouble and to disappointment, so you can actually assess what you have and take a new way and game plan. You see, if all you ever had in life is sunshine, never had night, you will not be well today and rejuvenated. So night come between days for all to stop and to reflect and to relax and to sleep and to stop what we are doing and go on the bed. In the same way with life, things are going to happen. Let me warn you, the future of our economy is the future of up and down, up and down, up and down. Dollar is going up now. No, dollar is going down now. Don't worry. It's going to go up. Then go up. Hey, we make noise again. We come down. Then come down, 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 down. So if you are smart, when it's going down, you buy, keep it and wait. Don't spend it quickly. When it goes up, you get to the top. Pastor Adalu, get to the top. When you start complaining, government, do something. Change it and go and buy land with it. And don't go somewhere else again. Huh? Pastor, I'm waiting for this life to be just smooth all through. That's the only place that is smooth all through. When you go to hospital, when your cardiac results so smooth all through, what's that called now, doctors? Dead. If you see this cardiac, it'll be like this. If you say, ah, that's too tedious, let's be flat, you are an RIP. So don't expect life to be flat, good, and nothing bad just happening. Right? Great. Are we blessed today? Let's have our food. Father, we thank you for our refreshment. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Okay, see you in your future. Let's serve. Okay. We are through. Let's eat and get out of here. You have anything you want to? Oh, our offering. Let's give our offering. Father, we thank you too. We bring our seed to you. Thank you for the harvest coming from there to bless, to be blessed, and to bless others. In Jesus' name. Great. All right. Shala, anything else we need to do? Yeah, we're having this program for workers. If you are working, you're not a student, it's Christian career professionals. On the May Day, that's 1st of May, Wednesday, in the morning, 9 a.m., we have different experts. By the way, overcome your sleepy time on Saturday and come around. Take it by force. Oh, great. Wonderful. Tosin, see me after the service. All right, great. Beautiful. Okay, let's go home. We have 3 questions and answer. Learn some. So we have done today a few things. Don't forget the 5 things about your 20s. Can you give us on the screen again as we go? Can I recommend for you to come on Tuesday? If you can't make it, watch us online. I'm teaching about 4 marks of a flourishing Christian. There are 4 faces you have to present in life. 4 faces you have to present in life. The face of a lion, the face of an eagle, the face of a man, the face of an ox. So come around Tuesday. You can go and watch last Tuesday on your, or you can listen on MixLR. Okay. Remember this. Everything I regret about my 20s. Not investing sooner. Lying a lot. Going to college. Doing nothing. Not cultivating the inner circle. And not wearing sunscreen or not taking care of your health. All right. Wonderful. Thank you.